And it's a 4 ibuprofen, 1, what was that other thing I took? Sudafed. Type of day. I think everybody's dealing with it. This weather. Wow, fun stuff. You know, sometimes when I'm in the beginning stages of preparing for a sermon, and I'm organizing and I'm researching and I'm looking at content, I'm looking at flow, how things fit together, and for the purpose of, you know, fitting together with the series and different things there. And sometimes I just kind of stop and think, is this deja vu? Or did I just preach on this subject not too long ago with this same organization and the same? So then I'll go looking back through old sermons, old files, just to see what was there to compare it to what I'd already started working with. And sometimes I find creative elements that I just completely forgot about. Like if you guys remember a few weeks ago, the Jonah sermon, I thought when I started preparing that sermon, I think I preached on Jonah sometime here. And so when I did a search, I realized, oh yeah, 2005. I went back and looked at that sermon and I was like, that monologue's pretty cool. I think I'm going to reuse that. And so if you guys were here, if you didn't, it's up online. And so that was something that was 2005 and then brought in and some other elements around it. But that part, sometimes I'll go back and I'll find creative elements like that. Sometimes I'll go back and I'll find like some sound research, some sound pieces of understanding doctrine that I was like, oh yeah, I remember doing all that work for that piece, and so I'll incorporate that into something today that fits. And so as I was brainstorming today's message, I had that feeling. I was like, I started putting some elements together, and I started putting some scriptures together, and I thought, I remember something similar to this. And so I went back, and sure enough, I found it about 4 years ago. You know, I wonder how many times Lynyrd Skynyrd played Sweet Home Alabama. You ever think about... Or how many times do you think Elvis performed Don't Be Cruel? How many of you guys just heard him singing that in your head just now with the sneer and everything? How many times do you think the Beatles sang Can't Buy Me Love? You know, it doesn't hurt to repeat good things. So today, since I uncovered that, I was like, you know what? That was good stuff. So the first part of our message today is actually going to be brought back from 4 years ago, just because as I was looking back through it, I was like, man, that all fits. It's really cool how that fits. And then we'll connect it to what we're talking about today, specifically, as we finish up this series and get into some commitment type of things, which is going to be really, really cool. So the main point of that sermon in your bulletins there is that God's establishments run on the generosity of the whole. God's establishments, and that's both Old Testament and New Testament, Old Covenant, New Covenant, throughout the Bible. God's establishments, they have paid staff. And that is, those are servants who are compensated financially for their work. And this is just riddled through. I'm going to hit just boom, 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 rapid fire a handful of scriptures here. In the Old Testament, you have the priests who were from the Levites, the tribe of Levi, that were set aside by God to be his priests. These guys were the guys that took care of the duties in the tabernacle when they were traveling from place to place. And eventually, they were the guys that did the duties in the temple. And sorry, Kurt, I don't know if that was distracting for you. I'm sorry. I can't say duties around. But they did their priestly things in the temple, once the temple got built. And in Numbers chapter 1, they talk about their duties in the tabernacle. And then I'm going to have to do a word search every sermon now to make sure it's... and then in Numbers 18, we see that God is giving them instructions as they're going to enter into their permanent residence, and they're going to be involved in their service in the temple. And we read these things because in addition to the duties, in addition to the responsibilities that they were going to do, this is going to be really fun. It's going to be like, what's that game where you're not allowed to say mad gab? Is that where you can't say certain words? But their responsibilities, in addition to their responsibilities that were going to be in the temple, God also included this this fiscal understanding of how things were going to be organized. Numbers 18:11 says, "This also is yours, whatever is set aside from the gifts of all the wave offerings of the Israelites." Everyone give me a wave offering? Sorry, I got a couple of those today, so bad jokes. "I give this to you and your sons and daughters as your perpetual share. Everyone in your household who is ceremonially clean may eat it. I give you all the finest olive oil and all the finest new wine and grain they give the Lord as the first fruits of their harvest. All of the land's first fruits that they bring to the Lord will be yours. Everyone in your household who is ceremonially clean may eat it." So the Israelites brought their tithe, and then that was their first fruits, and their first fruits were given to God, not to the Levites, but God gave the first fruits then to the Levites, to the priests, to provide for their livelihood. So the people gave to God, and then God gave, and this was his organization. This was how he took care of the livelihood of the Levites. Then the Levites would tithe out of the amount that God gave them. They would tithe the tenth, which is what tithe means. And we read that a few verses down. It says, "Speak to the Levites and say to them, when you receive from the Israelites the tithe I give you as your inheritance, you must present a tenth of that tithe as the Lord's offering." So this was God's setup from the beginning of his nation as they moved into the promised land. Now, as we see them move in, they spent 40 years in the desert after, you know, during the whole tabernacle thing. They move in and they have the temple, and all this is set up from Numbers 18, from what we just read. And they exist there for a while. Then they split into two kingdoms, the north and the south. And then the north falls to Assyria. And then the south eventually falls to Babylon. And then Persia takes over Babylon. And then about 500 years before Jesus, it's about that time that Ezra and Nehemiah get to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple and rebuild Jerusalem, if you guys are following me on the whole Jewish history thing there. And they got permission from the Persians. They got Persian permission, and this is kind of what that looks like. That's... oh... that's just bad. That's what Persian permission looks like. All right, so they reestablish the nation, and then they reinstate the same exact setup. You guys are going to remember that. So that wasn't recycled. That was new. There was another time in a whole different sermon that I did another Persian joke there. So, but in Nehemiah 10, as they're setting things back up, here's what we read. It says, "We also assume the responsibility for bringing to the house of the Lord each year the first fruits of our crops and of every fruit tree. As it is also written in the law, we will bring the first fruits of our sons and of our cattle and of our herds and our flocks to the house of our God, to the priests ministering there. Moreover, we will bring to the storerooms of the house of our God, to the priests, the first of our ground meal, of our grain offerings, of the first fruit of all our trees, our new wine and olive oil. We will bring a tithe of our crops to the Levites, for it is the Levites who collect the tithes in all the towns where we work. A priest descended from Aaron is to accompany the Levites when they receive the tithes, and the Levites are to bring a tenth of the tithes to the house." So the Levites, there again, they're also tithing again. To the house of your God, to the storerooms of the treasury. The people of Israel, including the Levites, are to bring their contributions of grain, new wine, and olive oil to the storerooms, where the articles for the sanctuary and the ministering priests and gatekeepers and musicians are also kept. And this last little line here, one of the reasons why I left the whole big section that we just read is, they said, "We will not neglect the house of our God." That right there is a whole sermon to be able to preach on that line right there. We will not neglect the house of our God, but I don't have time for that. We're going to keep on moving. So this does continue into the New Testament. So it's established in the Old Testament, across the Old Testament. In Matthew chapter 10, when Jesus is sending out the 12 disciples, he tells them, he says, go, and this was their first missionary trip that they went out on. He said, go to the lost sheep of Israel. So that's evangelism. Go to the lost sheep. And as you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. So there's some preaching going on there. There's a proclamation. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely you give. All that's in the pastoral care type thing. I'm just kind of connecting this to what we see today in the church of what happens. The evangelism, preaching, pastoral care. And so then he says, do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts. No bag for the journey or extra shirt or sandals or staff, for the worker is worth his keep. And then a separate time in Luke 10, so we have Matthew 10. In Luke 10, Jesus sends out the 72, so he's got more followers. So he sent out 12 at one time, and then a whole separate time he sent out more. He sent out 72, and he gives them very similar instructions about evangelism, about preaching, and about pastoral care. And then he also includes this one little piece here, and he says, stay there, the place where they're staying, wherever they went, they were supposed to find a place to stay, someone that welcomed them into their house. And he said, stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. So Jesus told the disciples that they would have a place to stay. They would have food to eat. They would have drinks to drink while they were out serving in full-time capacity. And Jesus calls them workers, and he calls what they get a wage. He calls their provision a wage. So it's really hard to, it's nice that this is all right here, because you don't have to really bring it out. It's spelled out there. In the New Testament, Paul instructs, he says, nevertheless, one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. When I had researched that, some commentators understand the term sharing all good things as a very polite way of talking about compensation for the teaching. And the understanding there is that biblical instruction is a commodity worth paying for. 1 Corinthians, Paul defends his right to earn a living as a minister of the gospel of Christ. There's really good stuff there. There's just a lot of scriptures here. So let's move. I want to make sure we have time. So let me let you guys know, in your bulletins, you do have the 1 Corinthians 9, 7 through 11? Yes? Okay. And you have 1 Corinthians 9, 13 through 14? Okay. And 1 Timothy 5, 17 through 18? All right. So you guys can go read that, and we will move to the next one to keep us moving. Does that work for you? All right. Benevolence. So throughout the Old Testament, throughout the New Testament, we see that God's establishments work on the generosity of the whole. There's paid staff. There's also benevolence that happens through that money. Benevolence is caring for the poor and needy. God was very clear in the Old Testament that caring for the poor was a command for his people. He says, when you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner. I am the Lord your God. God's little stamp of approval on that hey, this is what I want you to do. Don't go back over. Don't pick up anything that dropped. Don't go to the edges. Leave that for the poor. And then a separate time in chapter 23, he says the very same thing. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner residing among you. I am the Lord your God. Once again, another statement, and God puts his stamp of approval on that, saying, hey, I'm the one talking here. This is me. I want to make sure that the poor are taken care of. We find out in Deuteronomy God's motivation for this, which is pretty cool. I love it in the Bible when we get a chance to see God's motivation for things. In Deuteronomy chapter 15, we see his motivation. It says, however, there need be no poor people among you, for in the land the Lord your God is giving you to possess as your inheritance, he will richly bless you. If only you fully obey the Lord your God, and are careful to follow all these commands I'm giving you today. For the Lord your God will bless you as he has promised. And he will lend to many nations, and you will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. You will rule over many nations, but none will rule over you. So God wants his people blessed. He's like, you're my people. I'm going to take care of you. And it's going to be obvious that I'm taking care of you if you do what I ask you to do. If you follow the things I've asked you to do, if you follow the structure I've set up, if you do the things I do, when Jesus comes, if you do the things I do as Jesus, if you do the things that I've instructed you to do in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, then he's going to take care of us. And his reasoning on that is that you give to the poor among you, you take care of each other because I want people to see that you're blessed. And God uses people to bless other people to make sure that the poor and the needy are taken care of. And we see that especially among his people. Yes, there's outreach that happens through benevolence, but there's a big focus, both Old Testament and New Testament, about making sure that the family is taken care of, making sure that we are taking care of each other as a family. And I love seeing that here. When we had just various things. I know when Joe shared, was it in your sermon? By the way, great communion meditation. I was listening to that. I was like, man, that's just really nice how he just funneled it down and those memories of love and really, really cool. But in his sermon, he talked about how he blamed his size on the church. So on his Sunday school group, because he said when Donna was going through all of her stuff, that his Sunday school just took care of him. They fed him. He was never in want. There was always a meal at his house. And I love those stories because that's not just Joe. There's a number of people here that have stories like that, that when things happen, when we're in need and we jump in and we take care of each other. And I love to see that. I think our church is really, really good at that. And it's a biblical precedent. It's something that the Bible talks about, taking care of each other, but it's also something we do as outreach in the New Testament. So Old Testament and in the New Testament. New Testament, Matthew 19. I think I erased this from your scriptures. Then I decided to put it back in the sermon. Matthew 19, we read about a time when a rich young man came up to Jesus. And he asked what he must do to earn eternal life. And Jesus said that he should keep the commandments. And he said, well, which ones? And then Jesus names a few of the Ten Commandments. He names one from Leviticus. Oh, I do. Oh, okay, no, I'll be getting that. So I was like, whoa, I got the whole thing. No, we get to Jesus' response in just a minute. So then Jesus names a few of the Ten Commandments plus one from Leviticus. And the man says, that's great news because I've kept all of these. What do I lack? And then Jesus says this. Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. So Jesus taught this. He exemplified it in his life to go and give to the poor, to take care of the poor both among you and outside. Benevolence, caring for the poor and needy. We see this in the early church as they continued to live this way. A couple of different places, but Acts chapter 4 is one that a lot of us are very familiar with. It says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. Once again, connected kind of that Old Testament where God is saying, I want people to see that my people are blessed, so you take care of the poor. That way they're not looking at you saying, well, look at those people, they're struggling. God says, I want it to be obvious that they're taken care of, and some of that's going to be happening among you. And so here, the same type of thing. God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons. So there's a connection there that God was at work, and they were taking care of each other, that there was no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. So money was given to those who had need, and there were no needy persons among them. So God instructed in the Old Testament, care for the poor. Don't glean to the edge of your fields. Whatever falls off, you know, while you're harvesting, just leave it. Leave it for the poor. Leave it for the foreigner. Jesus taught this. He exemplified it through his life. The early church deliberately cared for the poor, and we continue to do so today as God's church. And this is a consistent topic where we see God's establishment run on the generosity of the whole. And the last topic you only see in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, God wasn't about evangelism. He had his people, and they were for a purpose to bring Jesus, to bring the Messiah. But then things opened up to the world, to go into all the world, to go to all nations. And so in the New Testament, we have another place where we see the generosity of the whole going towards helping God's establishments run properly. And that is that we give to missions. And that was something, I didn't put scripture verses in there, because you can basically kind of open up pretty much anywhere in the New Testament and see that was going on. People were supporting missions. Paul was out running around doing different things. There was a number of different places. Some of the things that we did look at earlier in the series were some of the specific places there. Missions, supporting those who carry the gospel to unreached places. Slide that down. So, what do we witness here? What do we see here? How did I have that worded, the next one? What do we see our church active in right now? So, what? B2S giveaway, yeah. Yeah, that's an easy one to get there. So we got the B2S giveaway. The Cyclones guy called me, by the way. He said, do you know you're the only guy signed up? You have 50 seats. Do we need to give these away? Because they have a whole section kind of reserved for us. So get on that. I don't want to use the guilt thing. So I'm not really going there, but we're going to have to give our seats away if we don't start populating that. So anyway, so the B2S giveaway. All right, what else? I heard some... What? Missions, absolutely. Give to mission. I don't know how in the world I want to organize this. Missions. Quilts. Yep. Okay. What? Angel tree. So Christmas care and cheer. So C and S and angel. Angel. Matthew 25. So we gave two, so that would be missions. That was our harvest offering. We gave to Matthew 25, missions. Community. Community? Who was that? There we go. So what specifically? Yep. Put that over here. So, community. So we have the Christmas walk, the car show. What? His city, this city. Yes. And we have got a really, really cool thing, by the way, coming up for Good Friday. We're doing something completely different for this Good Friday. And I'll be getting that in the bulletins very soon. But what we're doing is we're going to do a prayer walk. And so I'll probably be coming to some of you guys for some assistance on our part. But they're going to be going through the different stations of the last night of Jesus's life there, of his... before the cross. So they'll have an upper room section. They'll have a garden prayer time, a garden arrest thing. We'll have the betrayal, the denial with Peter in the trial there. They're looking at maybe even having something that connects to the scourging, the whipping. And our section that we're sponsoring, putting together, is the walk of the cross, the carrying of the cross. And then they're going into, there's a scene there with Mary, and then going into the scene at the stage with the cross. And the idea is to have it very interactive, as many sounds, if we can get smells, touch, a lot of kinesthetic stuff. Exactly what Joe was talking about as far as that, what used to be called, like, goodness, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, postmodern education techniques of involving all the senses, which Jesus was on to 2,000 years ago. But that's the idea of that happening. So look out for that. It's going to be really, really cool. So this city, his city, partnering up with the community in different ways there, painting the schools. We did that a few. Yeah, we were helping out with that. Funeral ministry. That's that. We'll move that over here. So bereavement. I should have stuck with funeral ministry because I don't know if that's spelled right. Is that right? What? No. What is it? B-E-R? E-A? Oops, that's an A. No E there? There is an E. Oh, goodness. Okay. And then I guess if I can honk, if I can kind of Well, here, we'll put this down here because this would be kind of paid staff stuff. But there are funerals, and there's some outreach and weddings. And there's a lot of outreach there. I've baptized some people that I've been involved in with funerals. I've also baptized some people that I've been involved with weddings. Some people come in out of nowhere to come in here, and it's an opportunity to be able to sit down, and I get a number of hours with them in premarital time there. And so... some really cool stuff there that can happen with pastoral care on under the paid staff area there. So sometimes I'll get calls for funerals because the funeral homes know me and they know kind of my style, and they'll call and they'll say, "Hey, we've got a family. They don't have a church family, and they could use a dusty funeral. They need something there." So I'll go and I'll meet with the family and love on them and do what I can. And those are not always the most enjoyable, because if they don't have a church family, sometimes there's no history of a relationship with Jesus, and those are very difficult funerals for me. I'd much rather do the ones like, where? There you are. You're hiding back there. Miss Armstrong, doing Mr. Armstrong's funeral. Those are a joy for me, because there's no doubt about where Ray is. So we have those things. What are some other things that we see here? Yes. Mount Healthy Christian Home. That would be kind of community oriented, service oriented. And for those of you guys who don't know, we've got a number of people that go and help out at Mount Healthy Christian Home and serve in the gift shop there and in other capacities as well. VBS, we have had various things. We haven't done a VBS in a while, but we so active. What do we see active in our church right now? So I'm gonna. What? Whoa, home communion. What? Yes, the Mountain Mission coupons. Mountain Mission, and then home communion. It's kind of pastoral care. Oh my goodness, my brain, maybe it's the medicine. Communion. I know how to spell communion, but that doesn't look right. All right, good, thanks. Thanks for the encouragement. That's another thing. We get encouragement. That's biblical. I mean, that's what we should be getting as we gather here together. Yes. I'm amazed that some of you guys have not hit some of the super obvious. Okay, prayer chain. Yeah, we'll put that. Actually, let's do the prayer chain there. And we'll do prayer here. As some of our more corporate things that we're involved in. Yes? Visiting the sick and shut-ins. Okay. What about what the worship team provides? Yeah, corporate worship. We gather for worship together. Okay. What about what's happening right now? Preaching, teaching. And I want to put a word down here. Because what should be happening is equipping should be happening. What? I heard. Yes. Baptizing. So in that, it's kind of in this area. I'll put it off to the side. It actually belongs right in here somewhere. Bap. What? My brain's gone today, guys. I'm telling you. I can't spell on a good day. Today is worse. So yeah, baptizing. So the equipping. Is discipling a word? Okay, if it's not, then it doesn't matter how I spell it. Okay, so the equipping is going towards discipling, and that's kind of something we do see. Hoping to see a little more of that too. Yes? Clothing barrel. That's, so, and that's Matthew 25?
No.
Oh, okay. Clothing barrel? Is that right? R-E-L? Yeah. Humility's good for you. Candy lady. We'll put that here in the church stuff, the corporate worship stuff. Candy lady. Meals? The funeral meals? Oh, yeah, the fellowship meals. So that would be corporate. So fellowship meals. Coffee ministry? Coffee bar? Okay. Yes. Like going to the Cyclones game together.
Yeah.
I'm trying. I guess it would fellowship meals. I guess, yeah, that would be, what would that be? Fun stuff. I can spell stuff. I was going to do fun activities. Stuff's easier. Holt. Huh? Holt to L. Move that T over. Holt. Prime timers. That's their own fun stuff. So we'll just underline it because there's kids ministry that they do fun stuff together. There's prime timers, and we have the whole church events that we open that up for no specific group. That's a lot of stuff. I mean, we could keep on going. We're at 11 o'clock now, and we could Just keep going. So as we look at that and we think about those things, looking through the list, I kind of, yeah, all of it's up there. These ministries written behind me, this is what your generosity supports. This is what your generosity makes happen right now. That's what we see right now. There are things to be excited about. There's a joy in generosity. There's a joy in being able to know that, when we are generous, these things are happening. These things are taking place. Your financial gifts, they're going to support all of these things. Now, we're in the middle of this renewing the focus thing, and we're just about at the end of our initial phase of breaking things down, looking at our ministry, looking at what Jesus says the ideal for the church is, how our church really operates. We're going to be working on some gaps there, looking at reforming a mission statement. In fact, we have a meeting this today after church with the leadership talking about that very subject. And so pray for us as we're doing that. Pray for clarity. Pray for me. Hopefully I won't have to spell anything. And so we've got a lot of things renewing the focus, and we're going to be moving into a dream phase very shortly. And in this dream phase, we've got a couple of different activities that'll be involved church-wide. Really need all of you to get involved in that phase and the things we're going to be doing there. A lot of the stuff we've been doing has kind of been behind the scenes. It's been active, but it's going to start coming out and being very visible in the dream phase as we put things together and we look at the community and we look at those around us and we look at what their needs are. That sheet that you guys had last week in your bulletin. You remember that? The renewing the focus sheet? The demographics team, they define these four main needs of those in our community. We're going to be taking that. We're going to be looking at what Jesus says the church should be like. We're going to be looking at some of the things that we have a SWOT team, a strengths, weaknesses, obstacles, what? Opportunities and threats. We have a SWOT team doing, they're all done with their thing. There's one little final piece there was Chris. Chris isn't here today. But she's got one last little meeting. I don't know if that's happened yet or not. But it was happening very soon to finish up the SWAT team on looking at all of our ministries and how are they doing in these areas? Are they reaching some of the ministries that those around us need? Or are there needs around us that we're not meeting yet that we can and we should as a church? So in addition to all the things on this board here, we've got a number of different things coming up that can open the door for a lot of really, really, really cool ministries and being able to reach out to our community and reach out and really start seeing some things happen. We've had a little bit of a rebuilding time here, and I mean, we've got the core here. You guys are here. You're solid. You're mature Christians. You're full of love. You jump in and you serve. You jump in and you care for each other. This is what church looks like. This is what church should be. And we are in a place of health that it's time now to start focusing that energy and reaching out. Because I believe people around us can use what we have here. Do you believe that? That they can come in and be involved in this? Doug, if I want to pick on you guys, Doug's like, whoa. Third Sunday, right? Yeah. Doug and Donna came in here three Sundays ago and felt right at home. You guys, present tense, feel right at home. Okay, that's what happens. It's we're in a place of health right now, which is a great, great, great time for us. And we can see some things expand and go into some really awesome areas. And all that is going to run on this understanding that God's establishment, it runs on the generosity of the whole. That's one of the ceilings that you hit. And I don't want to see that for us. And I think we're in a place where we're not going to see that. When we say, man, here's some really cool ideas when we get together with the dream phase and we're coming up with some new ministries and some new areas, One of the things that typically can happen there is we say, well, we don't have the funds to be able to pull that off. Man, wouldn't it be great just to remove that off of that and have more ministries like these that are happening and we're excited about? And we're giving to God when we give those gifts. There's a joy in that. We're giving to God. There's a joy in generously supporting the things that God wants sustained through our gifts. And we worship God by giving. We worship God by giving. We know that there are practical places where our money goes. We know the money goes to pay what paid staff we have. We know it goes towards a facility and paying for water and electric and repairs when we have a whole lot of water. It goes to missions. We know this. It goes to benevolence and pastoral care. But the money isn't given to those things. We know it goes to those things. We can feel good about where it goes. We can feel good about all of this that we support and we see our money active in. But let's catch it at the top here. The money is given in worship. Amen. It's given to God. It's given to God out of worship. A tithe, 10% brought back to God, an offering, a gift, a sacrifice. The first fruits, we didn't even touch on that. You were reading about it in your books. Something I normally touch on when, normally have a good section of that when I'm talking about money. But first fruits, we give off the top. We give the first. It comes first. And that is given to God. It's not given to the facility. It's not given to the staff. It's not given to provide this or that or that. It's given to God in worship. That's first and foremost. Does it go to these things on the board behind me? Yes. Is it biblical for it to go to these things? Absolutely. But do we give to those things? No, we give to God. We give to God. That's the mature attitude. Even when we give a harvest offering, where was that? Matthew 25 this year. We've got our other missions that we've given to. I didn't even write those on the board. Living Water and Living Water and then Living Water. Living Water in Bethlehem. Living Water of Bethlehem, right? Is that the J. Henry's new name? And then Living Water down in Haiti. And then Safal and his ministry in Egypt. But when we give even to specific needs, even to a harvest offering, even when we give to a facilities thing, we'd like to do some updating in the church. And that might be where the Easter offering is going to go this year. Even when we give to that, we need to understand that really the top part of that is we're giving in worship to God. Yes, I know this money specifically is going to go to Living Water. It's specifically going to go to disaster relief in Matthew 25 ministries, but I'm still going to give it out of worship. And we can't miss that because that's a wonderful thing. And you want to be a cheerful giver and not miss out on the joy of generosity. That's got to be the top reason. That's got to be the top motive to worship God. And then it goes to all these things that we talked about, and that's another part of the joy, that we rejoice in the visible blessings of the gift. We rejoice in the visible blessings of the gift. Last year, towards the end of the year, I got a little behind on our tithing, and it really had me worried because I shared my history with you guys on the first sermon of the series. And so when that had happened, and I said, no, I don't want this to happen. So at the beginning of December, I gave a large amount. And at the end of December, I gave a large amount to make sure that I stayed committed for that year, for 2017, solid. I didn't want to fall back into any negative patterns because I know once you step into a pattern, it's hard to pull out of it. Good and bad. And that was important to me, to make that commitment, to step that up and say, I don't want this to happen. And that's December. That's a time when, you know, when I'm helping with doing what little we do with the kids that we take from the Angel Tree, taking care of my own family with Christmas, visiting family and traveling expenses and all that stuff. But I said, you know what? I want to make sure that God is first before any of this other stuff. And so I made sure at the end of the year that I stayed true to that commitment. What we're going to do here in just a moment, if you're going to pull out your pieces of paper here, the little tan one, the beige one. Golly, this was not planned. That happens. This is a commitment card. And we sat down with the leadership and looked at this, and this was something we wanted to see. One, we want to be able to see some of the effects of the series. So in a moment, the band's going to come up, and they are going to play a song. And during that song, I want you to spend some time here with this. Pull out your phones, calculators, and look through and think through this. The first box there is to be able to check that as an act of faith and worship, I've decided to commit to form regular giving habits. If you already have giving habits, go on and well. Now, if you already have giving habits, it'll show up later. But if this is a new step for you, to form new giving habits, let me get my stuff out of the way. Then go on and check that box, because we want to see that this series has had an effect in that way. Then there's a line there, based on my annual household income, an estimated tithe would be blank dollars. Okay, that's to get you thinking about it. And it's to say, and there's your name's not going to be on this anywhere. And say, okay, here's what my household income is. Here's what 10% would be. Okay, and for some of you, and for me, I hadn't revisited that. So when I revisited this the other day in preparing for this, I was like, oh, that's a little more than I thought it was. So then we have this next one down here. After completing the Take God at His Word journey, I want to begin regular giving at the blank percent level. So if you haven't done anything and you want to begin, and maybe 10% is too big of a jump for you. I get that. But to get your foot in, to get your feet wet, to start, you're never, if you say 10% is too big, you're never going to get there by not working toward it. So if you haven't started giving, and you say, you know what, I want to do 5%. I want to go half of 10. I don't, if you want to, you know, go for it, if you want to step out in faith and do some awesome things there, I fully encourage that. If you want to say, you know what, I'm going to take the Malachi 3 promise, and God says to bring the whole tithe, I want to see that happen. And so maybe you want to begin at the 10% level. And that, man, oh man, that's awesome faith there. I have been and will continue to give regularly at the blank level. So that lets us know that you are giving, and you're just going to continue giving at that level. You're not able to, you know, maybe you're at 10% now and you're fine with where you are. I've been giving regularly at the blank percent level, but I've decided to increase that amount to the blank percent level. And that's where we are. I'll be transparent with that. When I started looking at our numbers, I was like, you know what? We're right about 8.5 when I was kind of playing with the math. And I was like, wow, it's going to be a decent enough jump that it's going to be sacrifice. It's going to cost some adjusting to jump up to that 10. But we want to do that. So we're going to move from the 8.5. So that would be my box. Move from 8.5 to 10% and do the Malachi 3, you know, bring in the whole tenth, the whole tithe. And then what you'll do, you'll take this and you'll kind of, you know, perf it on your own there. We didn't have perfs on this. And you'll tear it and you'll fill this bottom part out and you'll keep this for yourself. Okay, so I plan on giving blank over the course of this year. So, and you can use this as your reference when you put your number up here. You can use that. Say, I plan on giving however many, you know, hundreds, thousands of dollars over the course of the year. And this is to help you plan it and say, okay, I'm going to give this much and I'm going to do it weekly. And here's the breakdown. You divide it by 52. Or you can give monthly and you divide it by 12. You can give every other week, twice a month, divide it by 26. And that gives you a number to write down there and say, okay, put it wherever you do your checkbook, put it in your wallet, put it in your purse, wherever you're going to see it, to be a reminder that I'm going to stay true to this. I'm going to commit to this, and here's how much it is once a whatever, once a week, once a, every other week, one, twice a month, monthly. So circle one of those. And as the band plays, we're going to fill this out. Amen. Thank you guys very much. Yeah, give my hand. Great song. Very fitting for the subject at hand. Stepping out, because for some of us, this is stepping out in faith to take that step. So the smaller one, keep to yourself. Put it somewhere safe, okay? I'm going to put it in these pants, and they're probably going to get washed, but I know what my numbers are, so. But put it somewhere safe. the longer one, the bigger one. Go on and fold that. And then I'd like to ask if we'd have four of our guys that normally take up the offering and pass out communion. You don't have to leave right now. But just as they're singing the final song, grab four offering bags and just one at each of the side doors and then two on each side of the middle doors here. And just as we exit, just put those in the offering bags. And that's how we'll collect these and be able to put those together and to be encouraged. Because it's very encouraging to me to see people respond to God's word in various ways. And I don't always get to see that. Because sometimes I get emails from you, hey, you know, such and such, you know, and the things that you're sharing, help me out at work here, help me out with a situation with my neighbor or a friend or whatever, and that's so encouraging, and to see things like this is very encouraging, not just to me, but to the leadership. It gives us hope for what we can do at the dream phase of what's coming on, to be able to say, you know what, things are gonna step up even better, and it's also a good measure of where we are as a church, that we're ready to move forward and to put more in and to take steps there. So that's how we're going to collect these. And then as we close our service, we're going to come to a time of invitation that we want to offer. Those of you who are here as Christians, we just reflect on the faith that it takes to make these steps and what Jesus did for us and what we get a chance to give back. We get a chance to serve. We get a chance to respond to his love, his grace, his forgiveness, his sacrifice. This morning, if there's someone here that's never responded to that, to give your life to Christ, we want to offer a time of invitation that you would come forward, that you'd accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that you'd confess that before everyone, that you would be baptized into him this morning. This morning, if you've already done that and you want to place your membership here, we invite you to come forward during this next song as well. And if you'd simply just like prayer, we invite you to come forward as we stand and we sing our song of invitation.